These are the top stories. The UN says Israel's attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla violates human rights. Escalating tensions in Jerusalem Al-Quds after Israelis kill a Palestinian. And a new book reveals infighting among U.S. officials over the Afghan war strategy. One thirty a.m. here in Tehran. Thanks for joining Press TV. Israel's military showed, quote, incredible violence in its deadly attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla in May, if you remember. An investigation by the UN Human Rights Council says Israel violated international humanitarian and human rights law during the assault. The probe says the conduct of the Israeli commandos towards the flotilla passengers demonstrated levels of totally unnecessary and incredible violence. It adds that the Israeli military's behavior was disproportionate to the occasion. Tel Aviv has dismissed the findings of the probe as biased and one-sided. Nine Turkish activists were killed when Israeli forces attacked the Freedom Flotilla. The attack prompted an international outcry. Relations between Turkey and Israel have deteriorated ever since. Ankara has called on Tel Aviv to issue a public apology and lift its siege on Gaza as conditions for mending ties. Well, Italy is one of the 20 countries sending supplies to Gaza as part of an international aid effort to break the Israeli siege. Press TV's correspondent in Milan, Jeremy Edson, has sent us this report.
Milan's Duomo Cathedral provided the backdrop to a caravan of trucks as they set off on their long journey to Gaza in Palestine. The trucks are part of a 500-strong convoy that will transport much-needed aid to Gaza. They carry building materials, school equipment and medical supplies, all equipment that are in short supply in Gaza due to the siege Israel and Egypt have been imposing on their territory for a number of years.
It is so vital. The more we further we dig in and what's actually going into the aid, we've got medical equipment that's badly needed. We've got baby food that is badly needed. We've got dental equipment, brand new x-ray machines going on. And we've got people from all over the country, all over the world coming in. But we need more response. We need to break the siege. Israel needs to end the occupation in there.
Italy has been one of the most outspoken critics of Israel's attack on a Turkish aid ship in international waters in May of this year that ended with the death of 9 aid workers. As observers say, what many people forget in their anger over the attacks on the Turkish aid ships is that ultimately it was the Gazan people who suffered the most, as yet again they were denied vital aid and supplies. There is some concern over the route that the convoy will take, but there is confidence that the humanitarian element of the trip will ease their passage.
I feel that Israel hurt themselves grievously by their attack, by the slaughter of those Turkish aid workers. And I think they have damaged themselves badly internationally, no matter how much of the media they have behind them. We hope that Egypt will do the humanitarian thing this time and let us through. As I said, they're certainly free to inspect, to do any inspection they wish on our loads.
The convoy is set to travel 6,500 kilometres across land and sea, and the aim is to arrive in Gaza by mid-October. Those involved are well aware that there is the possibility that there could be danger ahead, but for now the main consideration is getting the supplies to those who need them the most. Jeremy Inson, Press TV, Milan.
Israeli forces or police forces have stormed Al-Aqsa Mosque after a Palestinian was killed and several more injured in occupied East Jerusalem Al-Quds. The Palestinian was shot dead by Israeli settlers outside the mosque. Earlier reports put the death toll at 2. Shirin Yassin reports from Al-Quds.
A few hours after an Israeli guard killed a Palestinian man in East Jerusalem Al-Quds, clashes ensued. Israeli police and soldiers were deployed in and outside Silwan neighborhood. The soldiers used stun grenades, rubber bullets, and tear gas canisters to disperse the angry crowds who hurled stones at them. Israeli sources say the victim, a 32-year-old man, approached the Israeli guard in an attempt to attack him. But Palestinians say Samer Sarhan, father of five, was killed deliberately as he was walking down the road early Wednesday. A few other people were injured.
I go to see who is it. Who? I go there, I ask the police, they didn't say the name, but I know in the end that my husband of my daughter, he's the one they shot him.
Silwan neighborhood has always been a flashpoint between Israelis and Palestinians for some time now. Israel wants to demolish 22 houses in order to build an archaeological site, but Palestinians refuse to leave. Israeli settlers live side by side near their Palestinian neighbors, so arguments are frequent and clashes are ongoing.
They want the land without the people. They not want me because I am Arabic and Palestinian people. Yeah, they want to demolish our homes and they want to cash our area. And we will never leave our homes and we will never leave Jerusalem.
The clashes come a few weeks after direct talks were launched between the Palestinian Authority and Israelis in Washington. It also comes some days before the partial freeze on settlement construction expires. The Palestinian Authority says it will pull out of talks if the freeze is not extended, but Israel has so far refused. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said he will not extend the freeze, but indicated he could limit construction work to major settlement blocks.
This comes at a very critical moment, right before the freeze of settlement issue is on the international diplomatic platform. And Israel hopes that with a violent reaction from the Palestinian people, it will be able to escape and avoid addressing the issue of the illegal colonial settlements.
Nearly 500,000 Israelis live in more than 100 settlements built on occupied land in the West Bank and East Jerusalem al-Quds. Under international law, all these settlements, which the PA wants a freeze on their expansion, are illegal. Israel closed off the Palestinian territories for the Jewish holiday of Sukkot. And down in Silwan neighborhood, the Israeli forces' presence as well as tension is still high. As leaders are talking together and smiling to cameras, the reality on the ground is different. And Palestinians say that they are upset and unhappy, and they demand an end to the Israeli occupation, which is, according to them, a major cause of violence. From Silwan neighborhood, Shirin Yassin, Press TV, Al-Quds.
U.S. President Barack Obama groped for an Afghan exit strategy amid fierce divisions among his top advisors last year. That's according to a new book by legendary reporter Bob Woodward. The book, Obama's Wars, reveals internal distrust and infighting among the White House national security team. It suggests Obama dictated his six-page war strategy after he got frustrated with the Pentagon. The book says the infighting led up to president's decisions to send in 30,000 more troops. It adds that the administration was besieged by CIA warnings of possible terror attacks on U.S. soil. The book is due to be published on Monday, just 6 weeks before the congressional midterm elections, in which Democrats fear heavy losses. The U.S. military is likely to retain control of a prison in Afghanistan even after it formally hands responsibility to the Afghan government. Military authorities say they are expecting to continue holding Afghan prisoners they deem as security threats in Bagram prison. Legal campaigners have slammed the proposal. They say the jail will effectively hold dozens of prisoners beyond the rule of law with no clear means of challenging their detention. Experts believe it reveals President Obama overseas detention policy that clearly continues with the worst practices of the Bush era. The plan is also expected to be met with opposition in Afghanistan. There are widespread concerns that many of the U.S. military's prisoners are civilians being wrongly held. In other news, the latest Gallup poll is showing a battered U.S. job market despite claims by Washington that the recession has officially ended. The poll shows the unemployment rate still increasing on a monthly basis. The latest 30-day figure hit 9.7% in September, up from the 9.3% in August. The survey shows underemployment also increasing, up 0.2% in September from that of last month. The figures show that despite the announcement by Washington that the recession ended in June 2009, the American public is not so optimistic. Prior to the announcement, 82% of Americans saw the U.S. economy still in a recession, matching the same percentage as last year. U.S. President Barack Obama has warned that world nations must do more to help poor countries if the U.N.'s Millennium Development Goals are to be achieved. Obama, addressing the U.N. Summit on Millennium Development Goals, urged wealthier nations to help developing countries despite the challenges posed by the global economic downturn. Earlier, Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao criticized rich countries for not doing enough to help the poor. Wen added that wealthy nations should provide aid with no strings attached. He went on to outline China's plans to cancel more debt and increase assistance to African nations. World nations at the summit have pledged more than $40 billion in aid to reduce maternal and child mortality rates in poor countries. Local time where we are in Tehran is 1:41 a.m. Here is a reminder of our top stories for this hour. The UN says Israel's attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla violates human rights. Escalating tensions in Jerusalem al-Quds after Israelis kill a Palestinian. And a new book reveals infighting among U.S. officials over the Afghan war strategy. Thanks for watching Press TV. This is a very good reminder for me, at least. Millions are back to classrooms as schools open in Iran. That and a whole lot more here on Press TV.
It's not a weapon of mass destruction, it's a weapon of mass killing, perhaps. It kills lots of people.
They're just closing their eyes to mounted evidence.
The reality is, depleted uranium is a form of localized nuclear explosion.
The NPT cannot bring about nuclear disarmament.
And for a long time, it was denied that there was any contamination left behind.
In addition, what seems to happen for babies, you know, children in the womb and so on, is that they actually can cause birth defects.
And this was a signal of just how dangerous it was.
So I think it's in a class of an evil weapon.
Thanks for joining us. Let's begin the second half with the news of an explosion that has killed 12 people and wounded dozens more in northwestern Iran. The blast took place during a military parade in the city of Mahabad in Iran's west Azerbaijan province.
The bomb went off at 10:30 local time, very close to where women were watching the parade. All of those killed and many of those injured are women. We know that so far 12 women have been killed in this attack.
Police say two people have been arrested in connection with the bombing. The bomb was planted inside a pine tree near the site of the parade. No group or person has claimed responsibility yet. Later in the day, a funeral was held for those killed in the attack. Thousands of people attended the funeral. Now, Iran's defense minister says construction of S-300 missile system is still on agenda. Brigadier General Ahmad Vahidi made the remarks as Russia announced a ban on the sale of S-300 defense missiles to Iran. Vahidi says the Iranian defense ministry is looking to develop long-range missiles by itself. Moscow has a deal with Iran to supply it with the short-range S-300 missiles. However, the Russian president has signed a decree banning the delivery of the missile system. Marking the 30th anniversary of the start of the Saddam-imposed war, Iranian armed forces have held a parade showcasing the country's defense capabilities. Gisu Misha Ahmadi reports.
A parade of the entire Iranian armed forces, including the military, IRGC, and the volunteer forces of the Basij from all over the country in their traditional attire, demonstrated solidarity as they marched by. The Sacred Defense Week is an annual commemoration to honor the hundreds of thousands martyred in the eight-year Iraqi-imposed war.
Some of Iran's most recently unveiled military hardware are on display today for the first time.
The Karar domestically built drone, Fateh 110, Sejil and Qaem missiles are only some of what Iran has achieved over the past 30 years. The parade was also a chance to unveil the second generation Jamaran destroyer and Sina frigates.
When the war began 30 years ago, we needed the most simple and ordinary guns and bullets, and no one would sell them to us. But today, despite tough sanctions against us, we are completely capable of producing everything that we need in order to defend the country.
But while the parade reflects Iran's defense doctrine and shows how far the Islamic Republic has come since its early days in 1980, it is also about Iranian national identity.
Despite all the help that Iraqis received, they did not win the war because, unlike them, Iran did not rely on soldiers motivated by material gain. Instead, it was their belief that inspired them, popular resistance. Iran's war strategy and being connected to God gave us power.
Iraq enjoyed substantial diplomatic and military support from 48 countries during the war. Financial aid included $35 billion from the West and between $30 to $40 billion from the Persian Gulf states. The United States provided Iraq with intelligence and strategic military advice, hoping to win the war that is characterized by extreme brutality, including the use of chemical weapons, which left Iran with more than 120,000 victims, making it one of the countries most afflicted by weapons of mass destruction. Gisu Misha Ahmadi, Press TV.